And we'd like to welcome back into the studio our buddy, the president of the South Carolina Stingrays. Can I call him Rob Cuckoo Concannon? That's what your name was when you were playing, wasn't it?
I haven't heard that for a while. But
it was, wasn't it?
Yeah, my kids always tease me. They're like, Daddy, why does your friends call you Kook sometimes?
But can you answer that for everyone right now, Rob?
How long do we have?
Come on. Why were you called Rob Cuckoo Concannon or Kook? Come on.
Geez. Dude, come on. I did some different things.
Okay. He says right there, some scenes may be too intense for younger listeners. We'll get back to that a little bit later. All right. Hey, man, first of all, you guys are off to the best start in franchise history.
Yep. Everything's going good, Richard, right now. Knock on wood. The guys are playing extremely well. First half of the season, we started with a lot of games on the road, which I think at first people saw the schedule and they're like, wow, it's going to be challenging. I think we're 16-1 on the road. And
that's a great road record.
Yeah. And then we're 12-4 at home. It's off to a good start here in January. We got 3 big games this weekend, and then we'll head into the All-Star break. But Steve Bergen, Ryan Blair, the guys are doing a terrific job.
Well, I'll tell you, the Stingrays right now, I mean, that's where the buzz is right now in town when it comes to sports, because Stingrays are the best team in the ECHL right now. So Friday night, first of all, we've been giving away tickets all week for Friday night's matchup, and with the giving away tickets for people to be a ceiling fan with us at the Coliseum. You're taking on the Jacksonville Icemen, dropping the puck at 7:05. What's happening Friday night?
Friday night with AAA and our friends over there, they're going to give away 2,000 Stingrays license plates. And our buddy, the Critic, will be out there, like you said. And last year, the Critic was proud of his Friday night ceiling fan record, so I'm going to have to get with him tomorrow night to see what his record is so far this year, and then what are his goals and objectives as we head into the second half of the season. But I like you, Richard, the Critic is a huge supporter of Stingrays hockey, always has been, and we always enjoy seeing him out at the games.
Well, we're happy to give away tickets for the Stingrays games, and then Saturday is Military Appreciation Night, and that's a special night because you guys are wearing special jerseys that you'll be auctioning off after the game.
That's correct. So tomorrow night's our Military Appreciation Game. Honor our servicemen and women who have done so much for us and give us our freedoms to play and Amen. Do things that we like. Specialty jerseys are pretty cool, and then after the game they'll be auctioned off on the ice. I think Handbid's going to have a few online as well of some of the other players. And then
it's free. What? It's free parking at the Coliseum Saturday night.
Yeah, free parking at the Coliseum, and then there's discounted tickets for military family and friends at the box office. Or they can call the Stingrays office if they have a group of 10 or more. It was $15 and now it's $12. So it's going to be a big night. Saturday night's our biggest games of the year so far. And like you said earlier, I think with the Clemson season being over and college football season being over, fans generally switch focus now to our hockey team, and they're doing a great job. So we'd love to see a big crowd out there tomorrow night.
Yeah, everybody needs to hop on the bandwagon right now because the Stingrays are rocking in the ECHL. And this weekend, a big weekend, you also have a family day, kids' day on Sunday afternoon.
That's right. Family day on Sunday, 3 p.m. start. Fans can meet Cinderella and Prince Charming. 3 p.m. is the game. It's always a fun time in the afternoon, especially for those folks who have people. Saturday's games, we moved from 7 to 6. I think we touched upon that earlier this year. But for those folks who have young kids and want to meet Cinderella and Rapunzel, we'll have them come out to Sunday's game at 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And then and then Monday's All-Star break for the guys.
Now, do you have like an on-ice skate or something for Family Day on Sunday?
Yeah, I think they're skate with the Rays this Sunday as well. And then we have a couple more of those throughout the season. If folks and fans are interested in that, they can go online and check out those dates.
And so drop the puck 7:05 Friday night, 6:05 on Saturday, 3:05 on Sunday afternoon. Big weekend for the Stingrays. And you mentioned then the All-Star break.
Yep.
The All-Star break this year, the Stingrays are well represented. And also our buddy Jared Bednar. Talk about the former Stingrays coach Jared Bednar, who's now the head coach of the Colorado Avalanche in the NHL.
Yeah, Jared has been selected to be inducted into ECHL Hall of Fame on Tuesday in Wichita, Kansas at the Hall of Fame dinner. He's gonna be out there on Tuesday. And Steve Berg and our head coach, our goalie Parker Milner, and our equipment manager Cameron Parker were all selected to participate in the ECHL All-Star game as well. So great congratulations to those guys, well-deserved efforts. And then we'll have our Board of Governors meetings out there, and then Wednesday night will be the All-Star game, and then head back to town on Thursday. But the guys will have a couple days off. I'm sure they'll be able to enjoy The weather here in Charleston, but hopefully we get three more wins this weekend.
Is that a much needed break for the team when you get to All-Star break, or do you hate to lose any kind of momentum that you may have had built up in the first half of the season?
I think it's good. The guys play a lot of games condensed into a short period of time. Sometimes, you know, 4 games in 5 nights or 3 games in 3 nights, like this weekend, and they're going to have some bumps and bruises. So I think they will all welcome the opportunity to explore Charleston and hang out, maybe go golfing, and hopefully go explore King Street and do what they need to do to kind of let off some steam.
Oh, I know the Stingrays like to have a little bit of fun. We remember this over the decades here in the Low Country. So Rob Kincannon, president of the South Carolina Stingrays, have you gotten used to hearing that? Because I'm just wondering, at the time that you were a player, you would not have been somebody that I would have thought would be the president of the South Carolina Stingrays. How did that come about, and how does it feel now being El Presidente there?
Well, it's a huge honor. It's something that's been a big part of my life for the last 25 years, you know, as a player, and then in this position, 10 years in this position now. And I think at the time where I was in life, you know, coming to Charleston kind of helped me. It helped me grow up. It helped me kind of refocus and get, I don't know, a new outlook on life and figure out what I want to do and where I want to be. And, you know, leading up until that time frame, like everyone else, I was probably lost a little bit. But, you know, 95 to 2000 were probably the best 5 years of my life, you know, playing hockey here. And now that I've been in this position for 10 years, obviously I'm married now. I have 8-year-old twins, and in life that back then I thought couldn't get any better is even better now. And I'm just proud and excited to be, you know, in the position that I'm in. Charleston is the best city in the world, as we all know that. And I get to do something that I love and be involved in something that I am passionate about. And it's great to see, you know, people like Jared and our former coaches who have now moved on to the AHL and the NHL, and players as well, who, you know, you catch up with all the time, who still call Charleston home. Like Jared, this is home for Charleston.
I was going to say, yeah. I mean, with Jared Bednar, Jason Fitzsimmons, yeah. Brett Marietti, yeah. Dave Seitz. I mean, these names from the past, yeah. of the Stingrays,
yeah.
a lot of them still circle around this, yeah. area here in the Lowcountry. They love Charleston, and we love having them around.
Yeah, I was with Fitzy the past couple of days in Charlotte. We went up there for a couple games. This is home for him. Like you said, Jared as well. Jared lives out in the Isle of Palms in the summertime. And Brett, you know, he has his fence company here in town, and Seitz, he's still the critic's best friend, you know, and they go down to Beer Works and relive old times and hang out and have a good time.
Hey, I still have my Dave Seitz bobblehead.
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah, that's awesome. But I think even our guys on the team now, Richard, I think they see that. I think the older guys realize they're not going to play hockey forever, right? So they see, you know, the alumni guys at the games, they hear the stories, they see the history of former coaches, players, where they were and where they are now. And I think you see some of those guys who are just, you know, the light bulb goes on and says, maybe in a couple of years, or next year, I'm going to retire and try to segue into the real world. And I'd really love Charleston to be on that list. I mean, we got a great group of guys this year. And I think that's one thing that Coach Bergen and I have talked about is how much they love one another, but how much they love having fun off the ice, but then coming to the rink and giving it their all.
Well, that makes a huge difference. Yeah. The camaraderie and, yep. that team and the team companionship, yeah. that you see then, the teamwork on the ice, yeah. as well. And, you know, it's great how you segued into the real world, yeah. and still stayed in hockey.
Yeah.
So what was it? I mean, I'm going to have you search your, yeah. memory banks here, guys. Yeah. We talk with Rob Kincannon from the Stingrays, the president, yeah. of the South Carolina Stingrays. What was it that first got you into Charleston way back when?
So in 95, I was in college. And
Where'd you get to college?
I went to Salem State, and I had just turned pro, and I went to camp with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And at the time, the Maple Leafs were the affiliate of the Stingrays. And I never knew anything about Charleston.
That wouldn't be a Marcel Dion kind of leftover thing or anything.
No, Rick Vive. So I didn't make the Maple Leafs, and then I didn't make St. John's, Newfoundland. But they said, hey, listen, we want to keep an eye on you, and we want you to go to Charleston, South Carolina to see how you do. And I said, I'm going home. And I went home to Boston. And Mark and Mike Bavis called me, and they said, Robbie, if you go there, you're never going to come home. So Mark Bavis, for fans who don't know, Mark Bavis was a good friend of mine, played for the Stingrays, but he was one of the scouts on September 11th one of the LA Kings scouts that hit the World Trade Center.
And his jersey hangs in the rafters of the North Charleston Coliseum in his memory. Yeah.
So him and his brother Mike, I grew up with in Boston, and they had played here as well. And then I got a chance to play with Mark my first year. I didn't get a chance to play with Mike. But they were like, if you come here, you're never going to leave. And I remember coming, and I was just like, wow, this is pretty cool, and exhibition game. And then I did well, and I got called back up to Newfoundland. And after like 20 games, I told the general manager, I said, can you send me back to Charleston? And he's like, why? I was like, well, the weather's great. People are wonderful. So fast forward 20 plus years later or 15 years later, Darren Abbott was the president years ago. And Darren said, I told Anita Zucker, who was the owner of the team at the time, that I'm moving on to Manchester, New Hampshire, and I think that you would be a good fit for the position. So I said, well, I appreciate it, Darren. And at the time, I owned a part owner of Club Trio.
Mm-hmm.
So I said to my wife, and she's like, what do you think? And she's like, well, you know, it's one thing you're passionate about. It's one thing you love. So I said, I'll do it. Wound up, you know, selling Club Trio, and here we are. 10 years later, and knock on wood, I'm lucky enough to continue to be in this position. So,
do you lace your skates up much?
Never.
You don't?
No, I don't.
An ice palace, nothing. You don't do.
Well, my son plays a little bit.
Does he play like you?
No.
Play better?
No, he's better. No, he's just getting acclimated to skating and doing the things that little kids do, and I'm not going to be the crazy father up there pushing him and making sure that
you're not the helicopter dad when it comes, you are for the team but not for your son.
Yeah, no, I won't get into that, Richard. I'll let him, you know, go with it as far as he wants to go or as much as he wants to go. It's just it's something that we grew up with, you know, in Boston.
And well, exactly. I mean, it's a different lifestyle growing up north where your hockey is in the blood.
Yeah,
and
then
down south, you have to go to places like the ice palace because you can't go out in your backyard on a frozen lake or something.
100%. And if you look back, Jason's son, Jared's son, Brett's son, there really hasn't been a former player's kid sticking with the youth hockey.
Yet.
Yeah, well, we'll see. He likes golf. He likes Legos. He likes some other things. But again, learning from when I was a little kid and seeing the parents and how, you know, fired up and crazy they were, we still, as we all know, we still see that nowadays. I think I'm just going to take a step back, stay off the ice for a little bit, and let him do what he needs to do. He actually asked his mom the other night. He said, "Mom, are you going to be a hockey mom?" And she was like, "I am your mother." And he's like, "No, but you're going to be a hockey mom." And so, anyways, that's. That's the abbreviated PG version of how we got to where we are. And
if you see Rob and the other guys in the Stingrays out and about, you can buy them a beer and you'll get the R-rated version out there at the club. But now, how would you describe your playing style when you were with the South Carolina Stingrays on the ice?
An antagonist. I would call it as being an antagonist. And I still am an antagonist to a certain degree, but I'm 49 now. So I have to channel that and pick my spots because I can see it in my son a little bit, and I hope he doesn't go down some of the same roads that I went down. But I would say that antagonist is a fair word.
Well, I'm gonna make a southern comment. You did grow up north, and that also kind of is in the blood of those. We're in Charleston, we're the most polite city in America.
I know.
So you know, antagonist now. Is this where, as we circle back to where this conversation began, is this where the cuckoo nickname comes from, Rob? Is it on ice, off ice, or both?
I think it was a combination of both, doing some silly things. And I remember we won the championship, and I was in the studio in 95 down the hall here, and my outfit was a little different than it is today. But yeah, I think even before I came to Charleston, I was a little different, you know what I mean, and do things a little strange and stuff. But as I've grown up, you know, I got to curb it a little bit and pick my spots.
Well, that's amazing. When we hear your voice, you know you're not from the South, but at the same time, you feel like a part of Charleston and have been for a couple of decades now.
This is home. I mean, I've been in Boston for 24 years, and now I'm going to 25 years in Charleston. So my family's still in the Boston area. My mom, my brother, I went up there for Thanksgiving. But again, after 3 to 4 days in Boston with the snow and the traffic and the, you know, the parking spaces and things like that, you're ready to just hop back on the JetBlue and get back down here.
All right, now I'm going to put you on the spot because, you know, as the focus on fighting, rightfully so, has diminished in the NHL, You know, not going back to the Broad Street Bullies and the way things were back in the 60s, 70s, and 80s in the NHL or whatever. Did you enjoy fighting? Was it a necessary part of what you did as an antagonist? You probably got a lot back.
As an antagonist, you would have to answer the bell, is what we're called sometimes. And I'm not going to brag that I was good at it. No, I wasn't. There were other guys like Jared Bednar and Dan Fornell and Brett Marietti who were really, really good at it. I was quasi-okay, but if you're playing a certain style of hockey, there's going to be people who take offense to it. And sometimes that means they're going to want to strangle you. And if they want to strangle you and they drop your gloves, you're going to have to either do it yourself or call Jared or Brett and say, hey, this guy's bigger than me. Can you get it? But as you're talking about it, it's just something that's changed with the whole sport of hockey.
Yes, absolutely.
And we see it in our league. We see it in the AHL. We see it in the NHL. It is still a part of the game. It's just not as much.
And a good thing too.
100% with the injuries to concussions,
yep,
and depression and all the other things that are looped into it. You know what I mean? Like you get one brain, right? You get one head, and you want to, you know, I mean, look at somebody like Luke Kuechly, who retired at 28 years old the other day from the Carolina Panthers. He had a history of concussions.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell he was begrudgingly retiring because of the concussion issue as much as anything else. And good for him, because he's one of the most popular Carolina Panthers that they've ever had, just as you're one of the most popular Stingrays that we've ever had. All right, now, 90%+ of the people listening right now will never know the feeling.
Yeah.
But the feeling when either you're the person delivering it or you're the person who is receiving it, when someone is nailing you full bore into the boards, into the glass. I mean, it looks like it hurts. The layman out there is like, oh my God, can you describe to the average person listening what it's like to get checked or to give a check?
Well, when you're hit or you're hitting somebody into the boards, it's not as bad as actually getting hit in open ice, believe it or not. Getting hit in open ice, you have a lot more of a chance to get the wind knocked out of you or hurt. With the boards or the glass, you just bounce off of it, so to speak. You know, the guy hits you, you hit the boards, you bounce back off of him. You know, but it's fun. You get the adrenaline going in any physical sport, whether it's, you know, football or hockey, and having the opportunity to, you know, to hit somebody as hard as you can legally with your body, and in hockey you're going pretty fast on the skates, you know what I mean? It's fun, it's enjoyable. It really is. It's more enjoyable obviously hitting somebody as opposed to being on the other end of it. But the game of hockey has even changed. It's more skill. The guys are more agile. There's not as much hitting, but there is still contact, and it can get hurt if you get hit the right way or if you land on the ice the wrong way.
Well, you know, and the physicality of a team can oftentimes impose their will on the other team. And then you also, who's outworking and who's working the hardest when you dump the puck into the zone and stuff like that. But I can remember taking my son to a Stingrays game when he was 3, 4, 5 years old, and we were back in the back, and you guys walked out of the locker room, and you're on, and when you're on your skates, it's like modern day gladiators, and it's just it's a tremendous sense of here comes a battle, and you guys, I mean, you're a tall guy anyway, on the skates, you're taller than that, you and Bednar and some of the other big guys from the past. I mean,
there's some guys who are 6'6", 6'7", playing in the NHL and playing in our league, and again, like they're. It's a physical sport. It really is. And like you said, it's guys are out there battling hard. You get a lot of equipment on and things like that. But everyone knows those areas where there's not equipment. And then if you throw in like guys blocking shots and doing all the other little things that not a regular fan sees are important elements to a hockey game, are a part of it. It truly is. And that's, I think, segueing back to our team, I really think that's what makes our team special. They want to battle for and with one another. You know, whether it's a big hit or blocking a shot, it all comes together, and it's a part of the game.
A lot of people would say it's the best spectator sport that there is, and you're invited to come out to the Coliseum and see the best team in the ECHL and support your Stingrays. And I know that the season's only halfway over, basically, and there's still another whole half. Yep. And I know you want to peak as you head into the playoffs because there's a Kelly Cup on the horizon, but at the same time, it's one day and one game at a time. And for the last quarter of a century, buddy. We have enjoyed visiting with you and having you as a part of the community and as a part of the Stingrays. And after we end this conversation, I will get the R-rated version of some of those some of those stories. But hey, Rob, great to have you here, buddy, and best of luck throughout the rest of the season.
Thank you, Richard. Always good to see you, and you've always appreciated your support and of passion for our team, and I call you a true friend.
I really appreciate it, but very nice of you to say. And yeah, hard to believe that in a couple of years, it's going to be 30 years of the Stingrays here in town. So Stingray President Rob Kincannon, great to talk to you, buddy, and go Stingrays.
Thank you.